Hello, this is Ron Clark from Kairos Church Planting, and you are listening to the second season of the God of Second Chances podcast. Welcome back to the God of Second Chances. This is Dr. Ron Clark, Executive Director for Kairos Church Planting Support and host of the God of Second Chances podcast. We are almost finished with the prophets, the Navim in the Hebrew Bible. We will close this out with the powerful little book, Malachi. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Malachi, we're going to learn what the Lord says through this great messenger and this powerful king or messenger, the message of Yahweh through Malachi. The book of Malachi is often simply known as a book that tells us two things. One, it predicts the coming of the Messiah, which we see referred to in the beginning of Matthew and Luke. We read in chapter 3, the messenger coming in verse 1, and then chapter 4, the day of the Lord coming through the messenger. We say that's Elijah, or that is John the Baptist. And so we remember Malachi as the one who announces the coming of the Lord. Others remember Malachi because there's a verse in chapter 2, verse 13 through 14, where often people are told that God hates divorced people. And we run into this verse often with our domestic violence work. But I think that the book of Malachi has a deeper message that we often can read to understand a relationship with God. First of all, when we read the book of Malachi, we don't know exactly when it was written. We assume that the people of God have already come back and rebuilt Jerusalem, as we see in chapter 1, verse 2. I've loved you, says the Lord. How have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? The Lord says, yet I've loved Jacob, and Esau I've hated. So we think that in the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the city of the country of Edom did not rebuild as well, or there was a big war, you know, big tension between the people of Jerusalem and the people from Edom. So we think that this was written after the people had rebuilt the temple. We know that the word Malachi or Malachi means king or messenger, and so we understand this to be more messenger, also angel. We also understand that the people are struggling as a nation. It seems that they've neglected the temple once again. Often there's this question, dialogue, discussion that you see. Basically, what Yahweh is saying is, you've turned your back on me. You've deserted me. You're hurting me. You're dishonoring me. And the people respond, how have we dishonored you? I don't get it. You know, you can imagine in a marriage, one partner who's been unfaithful to the other partner, and the one that's hurt says, you disrespected me. You've hurt me. You've shamed me. You've lied to me. And the other person says, well, how have I lied to you? What have I done that wrong? You know, and they get into an argument. And what ends up happening is the abusive, controlling individual proves their point by arguing their case. You know, you don't give me sex, and so I have to find it somewhere else. You don't really care about me. You deep down say you care about me, but you don't. Your parents can't stand me, and so you have this dialogue between a couple going on, which is very similar to the dialogue between Yahweh and the people of God. And in that dialogue, God constantly holds them accountable. You know, they're offering the worst animal, a sick, diseased animal they're giving to God. You're not giving me the best. They're lying. They're hiding. They're breaking their covenant. They keep disobeying God. And God keeps saying, you know, you've disrespected me. You don't understand why, because you can't really recognize that you've mistreated me. And then we get to chapter 2, and Yahweh says in verse 14, it's because the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you've broken faith with her. She's not your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they are his. Why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. Guard yourself in your spirit. Do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says Yahweh, God of Israel, and I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as his garment, says Yahweh Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit. Do not break faith. Now, Yahweh here is not talking about marriage. Often when women are leaving their abusive spouses, I'll have church leaders tell me they can't leave, and they'll go to this verse and they'll say, well, you see, because God hates divorce. I say, well, wait a minute here. Which partner is God? Is God the partner who's being controlling and abusive, and the other partner leaves and God says, you can't leave me, I hate divorce? Or is God the one who's being mistreated? Over and over again, God talks about breaking faith, breaking faith, breaking the covenant. What's happening here? The people of Israel, or the people of Judah, are breaking faith with Yahweh. They're breaking the covenant. They're mistreating Yahweh. And what's God's response? I hate divorce, but I hate violence. There we go. There's a good one for our workers in domestic violence. See, God's not saying you can't divorce. God is saying, I'm being hurt. I'm being mistreated. I don't want a divorce. I hate it, but I hate violence. So we got to make a decision. So guard yourself in your spirit and don't break faith. It's almost as if God, who's the victim in the relationship, says, I don't want to do this, so you need to change your ways. Wow, what a powerful message for those in abusive marriages, those in abusive relationships. What a powerful message for those of us who take our relationship with God lightly. To have a God say, look, I don't want to end the relationship, but I need to be treated fairly. I need to be treated faithfully, and I'm asking you to change your ways. This is what's happening in the book of Malachi. The people of Israel are the guilty party in the abuse of marriage, and Yahweh says, I'm not putting up with it anymore. We have a God who deeply loves us. We have a God who's deeply passionate for us. But we have a God who wants to be treated fairly. And the prophets at the end of these sections of the Hebrew Bible cry out in honor of God. They cry out for God. They say, treat God well. Treat God lovingly. Treat God fairly. God deserves that. God deserves to be treated with respect and honor and dignity. As I just mentioned, it's important for us to realize that God deserves to be treated well in a relationship. That having a powerful, passionate, wonderful relationship with God is not a one-way street. And in the book of Malachi, they are mistreating God. They are taking advantage of the relationship that God has for them. And God is holding them accountable. And in chapter 3 and 4, there's this promise that Yahweh says, I'm going to come and I'm going to make changes in life. I'm going to come and there's going to be something different. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, there's the idea of that I'm going to send my messenger. People are asking, where's the God of justice? And you'll seek me. You know, verse 2, who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he'll be like a refiner's fire, launderer's soap. I mean, the idea of verse 5, I'm going to come near to you for judgment. Yahweh says, I've done with you. We're gonna have to deal with this again. In chapter 4, the day of the Lord coming, in verses 4 through 5, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. What chapter 3 and 4 prophesy, we believe, is the coming of Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist fulfills the role of Elijah. When we turn to the Gospels, the beginning of these Gospels have the story of Elijah in the wilderness, or John the Baptist in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, because the Lord is coming. And why is the Lord coming? To make things right. Jesus was God coming to the earth to make things right. People had turned their back on God. People had hurt God. People had broken their relationship with God. And God says, I'm going to go down and take care of this. But what's interesting is in chapter 3 of Malachi, verse 16, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says Yahweh Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasure position. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares the son who serves him. You will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. This is the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, John tells us that the Son of Man came, and there were those who received him, and there were those who did not receive him. But those who received him had life and life eternal. And at the end of John's Gospel, John says, "I wrote this so you might believe." The coming of Jesus being predicted in this text, the coming of God, is an opportunity for people not just to face judgment, but for people to turn to God. You see, the coming of the Lord was not just a day of, look out, God's coming, it's going to be scary. It was also a day for people to find refuge, to find peace. As I often think about Jesus Christ coming on this earth, it wasn't just to die for my sins. Jesus came on this earth to make things right, but Jesus also came on this earth to help people who wanted a relationship with God to see God. This is why we share our faith. This is why we talk about God. This is why we offer the God of second chances, because even in judgment, God is looking for people to follow. God is looking for people to come. God is looking for people to say, "I won't treat you like that. I want a relationship." You see, the God of second chances is always looking for open hearts, people who want to listen, people who want to hear, and people who want to say, "I want to return to my faith, and I want to have a relationship with you." As we end out this season two, I want you to think about the God of second chances and how all of the messages you hear should involve the hope of the God of second chances, not the judgment and the anger and the wrath. Often people say, "I don't like the prophets because it's all full of wrath and anger. I don't like the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. It's all full of wrath and anger." No, it's full of love and hope. And as we wind out season two, I want to encourage you to remember that the God of second chances is seeking you, is seeking others to have a relationship. Reach out to us at our Twitter page at God2Chances, and let us know that we can pray for you. Let us know what God's doing in your life. Let us know how we can help you. But most importantly, tell us stories of the God of second chances in your life. We'll move into season three, which will discuss the writings and the third section of the Hebrew Bible, and then move on from there. Thank you for listening to Season 2. This is Ron Clark, Executive Director for Kairos Church Planting Support and the author of The God of Second Chances. And I just want to thank you for your time for listening. And please reach out to us. And remember, go in peace, love God, serve others, and remember the God of Second Chances. I'm Ron Clark with Kairos Church Planting. And I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you're struggling, if you're caught up in sin, I want you to know that God deeply loves you, that God has always provided a way, that Jesus came and died for your sins. If you are someone that says, "I've been like Eli, I've been like Hophni, I've been like Phinehas, I've not paid attention, I've been like Saul, I've gone the opposite direction," I want you to know that Samuel's message then was as powerful as it can be today. What God is looking for is people to rise up. These are dark times. These are times when we need leaders. These are times when our leaders disappoint us. These are times when God's prophets have spoken time and time again and others have ignored the voice of God. But in light of these dark times, you can be the one to rise up. You can be the one to respond. God loves taking broken things, mending them together, and using them to bring glory and honor to the world. Jesus loves healing and leading people forward. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, loves filling the empty vessel and leading us to holiness. I want to encourage you, if you haven't, listen to the voice of God, obey the voice of God, reach out and do that. If you want to know more about giving your life to Christ, being baptized in Christ, you can always contact us at agapecoc.com/podcast, singular, and send an email to there, or podcast@agapecoc.com, and we'll get that message and we'll follow up with you.